The Old Testament reading is from Exodus 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both man and of beast, is mine." Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. When the Lord brings you into the land of Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all firstborn of my sons I redeem.'" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from Colossians 3. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel.' And his father and mother marveled at what had been said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.' Now there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting in prayer night and day. And coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And they performed everything according to the law of the Lord. They returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. Let's see if you can figure out who this is. On 12th of February, 1809, a baby boy was born in a one-room log cabin with a dirt floor on a farm in Kentucky. He grew up to be a man of rugged determination, and although he had less than a year of formal education, he succeeded in becoming a lawyer. Is that really succeeding? Never mind. However, he really wanted to make a difference in the world, and so entered politics. He believed that if he was going to have the maximum impact, he would have to become president of the United States. However, he tried and failed, and failed, and he failed again. In fact, his list of failures was embarrassing. 1832, lost job and was defeated for state legislator. 1833, failed in business. 35, his fiancée died. 36, had a nervous breakdown. 38, defeated for the position of the Illinois House Speaker. 43, defeated for nomination for Congress. 46, now here's a year he wins, elected to Congress but lost renomination in 1848. 49, rejected for the position of land officer for Illinois. 54, defeated for U.S. Senate. 56, defeated for nomination for vice president. And 58, was defeated for U.S. Senate. Who is he? All right, one more guy when it's not quite as detailed of a list. A U.S. military officer who lost the first 7 of 8 battles, started out with an army of 20,000, ended up with 2,000 in less than 6 months, and still got command of the army. Washington. Persistence pays off. Me, if I was Lincoln and had that resume going, I think I would have given up running for office. But we should never let things like that deter us from the goal. Simeon in our gospel was a man of perseverance. And there's 3 things we can learn about Simeon. 1, his persistence. 2, his perception. And 3, his prophetic message. Verse 26 of our text says, "It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ." You know, easily Simeon could have given up over the years. All these years pass by, I've been told I'm going to see the Christ child. I'm getting old. Lord, aren't you running out of time? It'd be an easy attitude to have. And sometimes God's promises are long in being fulfilled. You just want to take one example. You know how many years it took from the promise of a Messiah to Adam and Eve until when Christ was actually born? About how many years passed? About 4,000. Waiting 4,000 years. And we're waiting 2,000 and going when? See, his timing is not our timing at all. But Simeon goes to the temple when he's prompted to. So he's not at the temple when this starts, but the Holy Spirit gives him a nudge and he goes to the temple. Persistence is something that's alien to our culture. After all, we want it now. Actually, we want it yesterday. And if it's not going to happen today, I'm just going to give up. If I can't Google it in 2 minutes, it's not worth knowing. I could go on about today's society and what persistence means, or lack of such, or the fact that most probably couldn't even spell it. I'm talking about the younger generation, not us veterans. All right. We can make endurance and perseverance important godly traits in our lives. If Simeon was asked what was the greatest moment of his life, obviously he would have said meeting the Christ child. And two things about Simeon's perception. As I said, he wasn't at the temple when Jesus arrived at the temple. He came by prompting. Now, to be able to do that, he had to have a good relationship to the Holy Spirit. To listen to, first of all, to get the prompting to go, and then to listen. How do you get a strong relationship with the Holy Spirit? Through prayer and Bible study. When he's holding Jesus, he has the famous Nunc Dimittis, which you have prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of your people, Israel. If we want to have a perception close to Simeon's, we need to be close to God, again, by prayer and Bible study. Now, here's my little irk, all right? When our church was growing and we were hitting the 80s and low 90s, remember I promised a cartwheel at 100? And we were pushing 100. We also had 25 in Bible study. All right, and that's also the time we were doing read through the Bible in a year. Don't you think there's a connection? We can blame COVID all we want, but there's a connection. So there you go. I've had my fatherly disciplinary crack. Simeon saw the Messiah, that Jesus was going to be a light to the Gentiles and the glory to your people Israel. And the Gentiles getting part of it, now, the Gentiles getting part of it would have been shocking to the Jews of that time period. Gentile dogs was one word in their vocabulary. You didn't just refer to Gentiles, it was always Gentile dogs. See, we Americans love our dogs. They're cute, they're loyal, they're all the things people love about dogs. But in the Middle East, dogs are kind of like the way we would treat a coyote. You don't really want it around, but it is around. What they wanted was an all-conquering Messiah, one that would free them from the Romans. Salvation for the Gentiles was a major shift in thought for them. See, to the Jews of that time, when the Messiah came, the Gentiles alive would be the servants of the Jews. This is a terrible twist of thinking of the Old Testament. And luckily they've gotten away from it over the centuries. But have you ever seen the movie Schindler's List? You know, right at the end, they have the scene where the Jews are all gathered there in Jerusalem somewhere, and they're putting up a monument to Arthur Schindler, and that he's a righteous Gentile. What they're doing is they're giving him permission to be able to serve him when the Messiah comes. So you're good enough to be my servant. That was the actual message of that. We all went ooh and ah, but that was the actual message of that scene. Now, Simeon also warns that many are going to reject the message of Christ. Then he has a word to Mary. He brings in the cross in sort of an obscure way, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. The sign of the cross. Jesus is only 8 days old. We've already had two references to his end. When the wise men would bring the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, myrrh was used for funerals. Now, Simeon is saying that a sword will pierce your own soul. Why? Because Christ would die a horrible death on the cross. If you remember something out of this sermon today, remember the three things about Simeon: his perseverance, his perception, and his prophetic message. The perseverance of Simeon is a challenge to me to listen and believe in God's word, even when it seems that God's taking an extraordinary amount of time to produce the goods. And I'd like to close with the way that most of us know the Nunc Dimittis from the liturgy. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, to be a light to the Gentiles and to be the glory of thy people Israel. Isn't that the way it should be read with the these and thous? Sorry, there's just certain parts of Scripture that need the these and thous. I think the other part is the Bethlehem story, the birth of Christ from Luke chapter 2. Has to be read with the these and thous. So I just thought I would conclude it with what most of us are familiar with. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.